Teachers, know that there is always a student who will challenge you. In her book, Entering the Passion of Jesus, A Beginner's Guide to Holy Week, Amy Jill Levine talks about the risks inherent in teaching. There's always a risk a student might misunderstand what you say, might hear only part of the lesson. Believe me, preachers feel that same risk too. And so she praises Jesus' courage in the temple. Those Pharisees and Herodians, she says, who seek to trap him, they remind me of the cocky students who sit in the back row and ask the obnoxious and off-topic questions, not because they want to know the answers, but because they want to show off, to look clever or daring in the eyes of their neighbors, or show the fact that they think they know more than the teacher does. And she adds, I answer in such a way that they never ask such obnoxious questions again. I take my cues from Jesus here. And Amy Jill Levine points out that Jesus risks even more than students who misunderstand. Jesus, in this moment, risks arrest. Depending on how he answers their question, his words could be considered treasonous. Jesus faces that ultimate catch-22, darned if you do, darned if you don't scenario. And he finds a gracious, thoughtful, challenging response to the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? He says, show me a coin. And whose image and likeness is on that coin? Well, it depends on which Roman coin emerged from someone's purse, but it might very well have carried the image of Tiberius Caesar on one side, his wife Julia on the obverse, and that coin would have borne the inscription, Tiberius Caesar, august son of the divine Augustus, high priest. In other words, Roman coins claimed that Caesar was both God and priest. Now, they're here in the temple, right? Last Sunday, we talked about Jesus overturning the money changers' tables in this same temple, the place where you would take your coins of Caesar and change them for temple coins, almost as though you'd crossed a national border and needed to change your U.S. dollars into, I don't know, euros or something. And yet, one of the men can pull Caesar's coin out of his purse. One might think he was at least a little embarrassed to do so. And Jesus responds to their challenge with the words, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. I don't think there's anybody here who will admit that they like to pay their taxes. Am I right? Anybody likes to pay their taxes? I didn't think so. But we know that our tax dollars are spent, okay, at least some of the time, on things that matter to us. School taxes pay teachers' salaries and custodians and administrators, and school taxes ensure that our kids have computer equipment and phys ed equipment, buses and hot meals at breakfast and lunch. Taxes can do good things. They pay for road and bridge repair. They fund needed services like the DMV, the court system, police and emergency services. The list of services we get for the taxes we pay is long and tangible. Giving to Caesar a portion of our earnings means we get something we need in return, something we need in order to live as citizens in the world. But when Jesus says, give to God what is God's, he is reminding us that there is more than just this world. There's God and God's kingdom. There's this other allegiance we also owe, one that should come first in our hearts. God. God who created everything and formed us in God's image and breathed into us the breath of life and gave the stewardship of everything into our hands. There is nothing in this world that doesn't first belong to its creator. But it can be a challenge for us to make that claim, to put God ahead of everything. It can feel uncomfortable around friends, around family, around strangers who don't share our faith. It can be downright awkward. It can even feel indefensible. Because, as Amy Jill Levine points out, there are those who ask probing questions about our faith, questions that make us defensive and even apologetic. Maybe the questions even make us doubt ourselves. Questions like, doesn't God care about the people of Turkey and Syria? Over 50,000 people died in that earthquake last month. More than 100,000 were injured. There weren't enough trained emergency squads to get to everybody. People are still suffering. Homes destroyed, roads damaged. Doesn't God care? Doesn't God care about Ukraine? The war has been going on there for more than a year. When this church held a concert a year ago to raise money for relief efforts, people said then, and we'll hold another concert when the war ends to celebrate. But who knows when that will be? Doesn't God care? Doesn't God care about the hungry, the homeless, the brokenhearted, the victims of abuse and of violence? We believe the answer to that question is yes. Yes, God cares. God loves every one of the hurting people. Yes, God cares about every one of those circumstances. God's heart breaks for the brokenness of this world. And for some folks, trusting in the love of God and believing in the grace of Jesus and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit is enough. And for some, we need to be reminded that it is the love of God and the grace of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit that builds this community of faith where we can go with our doubts and our fears and our hurts and our questions. This is where we can go when the pain gets too heavy. This is where we find a shoulder when we are too weary. This is where we put together your gifts and my gifts and his gifts and her gifts and their gifts. And we add those resources up to make real, significant, lasting change in the world. In this community is where we take in and begin to live out God's love and grace. And carrying God's love and grace into the world, showing love to all God's children, sharing grace to all God's people, that is how we give to God what belongs to God. In the chapter of her book devoted to this story from the temple about coins and taxes, Levine adds another story from the temple, that of the widow who put two small coins into the temple collection. And Jesus remarks to his disciples, "This poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And a few days hence, a few days forward from this moment in the temple, Jesus will also give everything he has, all of himself. Which leaves us to wrestle with the question at the heart of our Lenten worship series. In this picture, in this scene, how do you respond to the challenge? What do you give to God? Amen.